One Nation Senator Pauline Hanson has been suspended from Senate for 7 days after wearing a burqa in Parliament to push for its ban, a bill which has been long campaigned for. Fellow senators, including Mehreen Farooqi and Fatima Payman, have condemned the incident as racist and disrespectful to Muslim Australians. Maeve Groom asked Associate Professor Paul Williams, a political commentator at Griffith University, if the suspension was fair and appropriate, considering Senator Hanson's actions.
Yeah, look, I do see it as fair and appropriate. It clearly is a breach of Senate rules. So, you know, strategically or logistically, it was in breach. But also rhetorically, I think it was inappropriate for the Senate chamber. And even politically, in terms of what Senator Hanson expects to get from it, I think is something of a misfire. So I'm not seeing the same sort of traction in the hours and days after she's done it that she got when she did it back in 2017. Obviously, that really fired up her base. I'm not seeing the same sort of response. And I think that Pauline Hanson's probably overshot the mark here, simply because this is really not what Australians are focused on at the moment. You know, 2017, this is pre-COVID. Many Australians were still fighting the culture wars. It seems that so much of Pauline Hanson's own base has moved on. So much of Pauline Hanson's base is worried about housing security, even food security with the cost of living. You know, I think it's appropriate that the Senate have condemned her for this. So she's got a censure and she's got a suspension, which is probably the toughest sanction.
Could this incident further shift public opinion or encourage further support for One Nation, particularly in the political climate we currently live in?
The reason she did it, obviously, was to capitalise on her growing support. One Nation has waxed and waned over the years in terms of support. When she did it in 2017, she was facing a possibility of becoming an irrelevancy, and then her popularity spiked again because everyone started talking about Pauline Hanson. So she obviously enjoys the notoriety. She enjoys the controversy. She likes to stir the pot. That's what populist politicians do, and that's one of the reasons why Pauline Hanson's maintained her popularity. But again, this is the wrong climate for that. And so what she's trying to do, she knows that she's polling 18% in the polls, both in Queensland and federally, and in some seats, of course, much higher. So if there are a federal election held tomorrow, you know, One Nation might win a few seats on coalition preferences. You know, it's not impossible. But it's really not what Australians are thinking about at the moment. So I suspect that even though she probably wanted to move her vote from 18 to say 25% and therefore overtake the coalition, because the coalition's on about 24% at the moment, but I think a lot of a lot of Australians would see this as not very original, because she did this stunt eight years ago, so it's almost like she's rehashing her old act, and B, it's not what Australians are worried about at the moment. You know, we seem to have moved on from the culture wars, and we're talking very much about what we call material politics, not post-material politics. We're worried about housing, we're worried about the cost of living, we're worried about the cost of healthcare, enhanced hospital ramping. In Queensland, we're worried about Olympic infrastructure and education, and as you saw, you know, teachers being on strike and teachers' wages, and those sorts of material politics are much more important for Queenslanders and Australians than whether or not Muslim women should be banned from wearing a burqa in public.
She appears unfazed by the criticism, expressing in a statement on Facebook that Labor and the Greens failed to debate this issue in the Senate, and that the burqa ban is not about religious expression but community safety, women's rights and social cohesion. Does she have any merit to her words, or are other senators such as Mehreen Farooqi and Fatima Payman right to condemn her actions as racist and disrespectful to the Muslim community?
Well, look, I think she's using the women's rights issue as something of a Trojan horse. I mean, I'm not terribly sure that Senator Hanson's first priority is women's rights. I think the subtext of this is still stirring up division and antipathy and fear of a minority religious group in order to galvanise votes. And that's what populists do, both on the left and particularly on the right. We've seen this in the United States. We're seeing it in Britain. We've seen it in Western Europe, that, you know, conjuring up fear, trying to divide the community and trying to blame the people's woes, such as not being able to pay their grocery bills, it's too expensive to go to the doctor, you know, a whole range of things on minorities, and in order to exploit and build their electoral base. We're seeing Nigel Farage do this in Great Britain. And there's no doubt that the surge in One Nation support of late is a perception in the Australian community that neither the two major parties, the Liberal National Coalition or Labor, can fix the housing crisis. They can't fix the cost of living. No one seems to be doing anything about hospital ramping, a whole range of issues that are affecting Australians. So that's why third parties are often a refuge. And that's been exacerbated by a moderate Liberal leadership. So the departure of Peter Dutton has meant a lot of very right-wing, hard-right coalition supporters, particularly in Queensland, have left the coalition to go to Pauline Hanson because they see more of her as her spiritual home. And that's another reason why Barnaby Joyce is contemplating moving to One Nation, because he doesn't see a spiritual home in the coalition anymore. He would probably more identify with One Nation. So in that sense, it's I suppose it's from your point of view, whether you you see it as a racist attack or not. But that's clearly the rationale of One Nation. Exploit differences and divisions and fears of the community in order to expand the electoral base. The problem with that strategy is what we're seeing this week, and Pauline Hanson fronting the media and giving a press conference saying, I don't apologise for what I did, I'm standing up for what I believe in. Pauline Hanson's base would love to hear that. It would consolidate her base. So the people who already vote One Nation or are inclined to vote One Nation would just be more rusted on and they would cheer her on. Doesn't necessarily bring new voters in from the coalition, and that's the problem that Pauline Hanson faces. And in fact, some of the One Nation voters might actually say, you know what, Pauline, you've been singing this tune for 8 years. What are you doing about housing? What are you doing about the cost of living?
Associate Professor Paul Williams, political commentator at Griffith University, speaking there with Maeve Groome.